From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Before we begin, a programming note. We were planning to bring you a conversation today with Illinois Senate Majority Leader Kimberly Lightford. She canceled her appearance this morning. We hope to reschedule and have her back on soon. Earlier this month, though, a caseworker from the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services was killed during a home visit. Deidre Silas, age 36, was checking on six children at the home, which is about 20 miles outside Springfield. She was stabbed to death. A 32-year-old man who lived at the home has been charged with murder. Here's Deidre's mother and her husband speaking to TV station WIFR.
And I know she always said to me, Mom, oh, wow. If anything ever happened, I want to honor her. Don't ever let my kids go into the CFS. And I'm praying to God.
Because it is not fair that my wife lost her life protecting someone else's children when she has her own.
Sadly, this isn't the first time an Illinois DCFS caseworker has been killed on the job. In 2017, Pamela Knight was brutally beaten while attempting to remove an endangered child. She later died of her injuries. Lawmakers and social workers are asking what could have been done to prevent these deaths. And in recent years, the safety of children in the care of DCFS has also been called into question. For years, the agency has lacked an appropriate number of beds to house children, with reports of them even sleeping on the floor of offices. The head of DCFS, Mark Smith, was held in contempt of court last week, the third time in recent weeks, after a 17-year-old had been locked in a psychiatric hospital months after he was ready to be released. To talk more about all of this, we're joined now by Arnold Black, who's been with DCFS for 15 years, almost a decade of that as an investigator, since then as a supervisor, overseeing a team of five in Champaign. Arnold is also a member of AFSCME, the union representing DCFS employees. Arnold Black, welcome to the 21st. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Charles Gobert, the public guardian for Cook County. Thank you for being here as well.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
And I should mention, we did invite the leadership of DCFS to join our conversation today. They did not respond to our request. Listeners, as ever, you're welcome to join us at 800-222-9455, especially if you happen to have experience with the child welfare system, or if you just have a question or comment for our guests. Give us a call, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21ST Show. So, Arnold Black, I'm going to begin with you. Can you talk about just how people in the community of DCFS workers, people in social work, are feeling after Deirdre's death?
It's definitely a blow, not only for her family, but also her DCFS family, her social work family. We are considered brothers and sisters in the field of social work, and anytime something tragic happens to one of our members, we take it personally. I know I met with my team. DCFS also provided an opportunity for workers to express themselves in the wake of her her tragic murder. So we just want to make sure that the same way people come to us, we want them to leave that way in whole and return to their own families, and provide that opportunity for people to be safe while doing this job.
What are you hearing from your members of your team and other employees about how they feel about you know, this and you know, just going out on cases in general? Do people feel safe?
Well, there's been discussion of being able to go out in pairs. Also discussion and further discussion of calling the police. Anytime that a situation in a report warrants it, the police are more than welcome to be called. Speaking for my community, we have a wonderful relationship with the police department, with multiple police departments, the county, the couple of cities that we have, even state police. So if there is an opportunity to bring them out, we definitely would be able to do that. And a worker has that ability to do that even without conversing with the supervisor. So if there's a situation that runs to that that depth in which someone feel uncomfortable, pairs, calling the police, even being able to call your supervisor to do a FaceTime. send a text message to say, hey, I'm going to this home. I'm going to call you in 15 minutes or text you in 15 minutes to be able to make sure that that safety zone is there for that worker.
That's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned that, too, and particularly about workers having that autonomy. And in preparing for this, I read a Chicago Tribune story from 2017 that after that previous case I had mentioned where another DCFS caseworker was beaten and later died from her injuries, they had found something like a dozen incidents of DCFS workers being attacked on the job, at least a dozen incidents. And at that time, they said some workers have told the Tribune, I'm quoting here, some workers told the Tribune that supervisors can discourage the escorts, that is police escorts, because the presence of law enforcement can impede a family's cooperation with the agency. I'm wondering what you think of that. And obviously, in recent years, you know, there's been a lot of talk about maybe we send the police to too many things in our society, right? We should have responders who are not police.
Even if a worker feels that way, in order to assess the family, if we can always call the family and say, hey, can you meet us in the office to be able to provide that and then talk to the family. But eventually we do have to see that home. I will give you an example to where I went out with a worker recently to go out to a home just because she felt uncomfortable. And I spoke with that parent and we made a decision that I will go out. So it's based on each individual supervisor, but here at the department, even if your supervisor disagrees, you can always go above your supervisor to management, which is the area administrator, and have that conversation. We want the worker to feel safe. And I'm not out in the field anymore. So if a worker is feeling uncomfortable going to a particular area or going to a family that we may have multiple contacts with, then by no means should that worker go out by themselves, whether that's with a coworker or calling the police.
All right, I want to bring Charles Goldberg into the conversation. He's the public guardian from Cook County, Illinois. And maybe I can just ask you to begin by, for people who are not as familiar with the position of public guardian, if you can just talk a little bit about your role and what work you do in that line.
Yeah, we're appointed by the juvenile court in Cook County to represent it's more than 7,000 children who have child abuse and neglect cases in juvenile court, and we advocate for them as part of the court system. But just as an example, you had mentioned the intro, the three contempt of court findings. Those were all pursuant to motions that my office brought on behalf of the children, first to find them appropriate placements, and then when that didn't happen, for contempt of court. So that's what we do.
Can I get your reaction to what we've been talking about so far? And I want to come back to the the director and the contempt motions there and the more systemic issues that people are talking about, and just stick with this idea of the safety of caseworkers. I wonder if you have a perspective on that, on the support that you see, because I'm sure your office and you interact with a fair number of people in DCFS in your work.
We do, and I agree with everything that Mr. Black said. I would add that the DCFS caseworkers have, there has to do a very hard job and make on their feet assessments, difficult decisions, and are often in harm's way and dangerous situations. What I would like to see is a lot more resources and supports for the workers. And I'll give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about. One, there's a 30-year-old court order. It's known as BH, that requires certain investigator caseload maximums. And DCFS has never been in full compliance with this 30-year-old court order. And in fact, just last March, DCFS went to the federal court and asked for yet another 3-year extension of time to hire the investigators that DCFS needs to bring their loads down to what was promised in this 30-year-old court order. Until that happens, it's really hard and stressful for workers to be able to team up in teams. I really fear the level of danger that will continue for workers and for children alike until DCFS hires all the caseworkers that it needs. and provides them all the supports that they need.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Arnold Black, but I think the limit there is 153 cases per year was supposed to be the limit in that that case. Is that what's happening in your office? What do you see out there?
It's nine for 9 months. You are to receive 12 up to 12, and then for 3 months up to 15 reports.
Okay.
Due to the staffing shortage, just not in my office, but statewide, because I sit on the standing committee that meets with management, the director, and then the deputy directors that are in the agency. Systemically, we have had issues in certain areas around the state to where hiring has been a problem, to where being fully staffed has not been the norm. It's not even the exception because it just hasn't occurred. The standing committee is always willing to work with management to come up with ways to provide opportunities for those who are interested in a career at DCFS, not just in investigation, but casework or daycare licensing, to be able to come aboard to take that advantage of working with the state. So in my area, we are down investigators because there's always an ebb and flow of people who come in that wish to go do other things within the state of Illinois or within DCFS. So we are constantly training and hiring people. And in my office, or you look at the staffing around the state, you look at investigators with 3 years or less experience that are on the job. So it's a change from how it was when I first came on, where the position was so coveted as an investigator. But now that trend has spiraled downward to you have 3 years or less experience in the field.
Wow. What drew you to this line of work?
Well, I was a caseworker in Chicago, so I've been to Cook County Court numbers of times. And I got the position out of college. So it fell in my lap to do casework. And then I decided to go back to school and to get my master's, and that's how I was able to get on with DCFS. I always wanted to be an investigator. So when I came to DCFS, the opportunity presented itself, and I like the pace of it. I like the fact that we can help kids. I like the fact that we looked at help families that are needing our assistance and then be able to move on to the next family. So it just drew me to it coming out of college.
Okay, we've got a caller on the line. Line four, David, is calling in from Charleston, Illinois. David, thank you for calling.
Thank you. I was curious if the services of DCFS, are contracted out by the state or are they actually performed by the state? And I guess another way to phrase it, is there the private sector taking on this role? Or is it, again, is it actually being performed by the state? Thank
All right, David.
Much.
Thank you for the question. Go ahead, Arnold, if you want to weigh in on that.
The services that DCFS provide are contracted out. Say, for instance, if we have an intact case, which means that protective custody wasn't taken of a family, but we feel the family needs some further services, whether it's related to counseling or housing, those services are provided by an outside contractor that the department hires or have a contract with to provide those services. 80% of our placement cases are conducted by private agencies. The department does a small percentage of in-house cases such as placement or intact, and most of those services are provided by an outside contract.
But if let's say a teacher or someone suspects that one of their students is being abused and they call the hotline, is that a state employee though who is leading that investigation, or does that start out with a private contractor?
All investigations are done in-house by DCFS.
Right. Okay.
Many years ago, Catholic Charities in Chicago used to do low-end investigations, but that contract has since ceased, and only DCFS does investigations.
Okay. Charles Goldberg, I wonder if you have a perspective on, you know, the budget side of things from the state in terms of these resources. Obviously, there was a budget impasse. We can talk a little more about that later. And I should say we do need to take a break in about a minute here. But in terms of resources, where is the shortfall? Is it from the General Assembly not appropriating enough money just to get the job done?
I think that's true, but I also think it's true that DCFS does not do a good job with the money that it is allocated. And I can give you some very specific examples either now or after the break.
Yeah, let me actually take you up on that. We're going to pause. We have to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. We're speaking with Charles Goldberg, who is the public guardian for Cook County, and also Arnold Black, who's a supervisor overseeing a team of investigators, DCFS investigators in Champaign. He's also president of AFSCME Local 2971, which is in East Central Illinois. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back. If you want to join our conversation, if you have a question for our guests or a comment, especially if you have experience with the child protection system in Illinois, we'd love to hear about it. 800-222-9455 is the number to call now. 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. If you're just joining us, we're talking about some of the issues at the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services. The agency has faced scrutiny recently after the death of a caseworker who was stabbed during a home visit this month. And the head of the agency has also been held in contempt of court 3 times over youth being held in psychiatric facilities much longer than was necessary. As we heard before the break, those contempt motions were brought by the Office of the Public Guardian in Cook County, and we're speaking now with the Public Guardian of Cook County, Charles Goldberg. Also, Arnold Black is with us. He's a supervisor of a team of 5 investigators in Champaign, also an official with the AFSCME local there, representing DCFS workers, state employees there. If you want to join our conversation, the number to do so is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And Charles Goldberg, before the break, we were talking about the budget and some of the strains on DCFS. And maybe for some listeners who may not remember, you know, a few years ago, Illinois went 2 years with only partial budgets under then Governor Bruce Rauner. He was a Republican. He was feuding with the Democrats in the General Assembly. He had, you know, talked about holding up social service spending as a wedge to get Democrats to go along with his agenda of weakening the power of labor unions that represent government employees like AFSCME. I wonder, you know, how that 2-year budget impasse did. I mean, that, from all the reporting I saw, had a pretty significant effect on some of the agencies that DCFS contracts with. Maybe you can talk about that and anything else you see as some of the broader financial issues at the agency.
Yeah, so those 2 years, it's been horrible. It's just been horrible for the entire DCFS system. So one, DCFS lost a lot of people, especially the private contractors that they use, because DCFS was not paying its bills. And they never got any increases in their rates for years and years and years. DCFS lost a lot of residential providers during that period of time. A lot of psychiatric hospitals will not accept DCFS's children for 2 reasons. One is that they know the kids are likely to languish at the hospital for months after they're ready to be discharged. But also during that period of time, the hospitals knew that they would not be paid, certainly not be paid timely. It created a mess, and we're still dealing with that mess today in many ways.
All right, we have another caller on the line. Lynn is on line 2 from Champaign. Lynn, thank you for calling in today. Okay, I understand Lynn could not hold, actually, but I got a message from our producer who says, she wanted to say, number one, please discuss how kids under DCFS care are disproportionately Black and brown kids. We'll start with that. Arnold, I wonder if you have a perspective on that.
Yes. Actually, in my county, we actually talk about that situation with Family Advocacy Center, with which is a agency that DCFS contract with to try to minimize those contacts that we have with families. The one thing that I like to point out is that child abuse and neglect has no color. It has no age. It just depends on the person. Once the call is made to the hotline, regardless of the color of the family, we have to go out and we have to investigate the situation that occurred. Each protective custody is different. One family may look different than another family in regards to what happened, not due to their race, at least down in Champaign-Urbana, but systemically as a whole, speaking as a committee member for the standing committee, it is mostly of our Black and brown children who are getting those calls and who are definitely coming into the system based upon the situation that occurred in the family. Although we may recommend a protective custody, the courts have to uphold it. So as I tell families, this is our decision now, but the courts make the final decision based upon the evidence that's presented to them.
All right, let's go to another caller. Dave is calling on line 4. Dave, thank you for calling in.
Sure.
So go ahead with your, I understand that you're an adoptive father yourself?
Yes, sure am. Yes.
So what was your experience with the foster care system on that journey?
Well, the licensing process for foster care was quite educational and quite an eye-opener for me, and I had a few worries about what could take place because of all the things that you learn, you know, when you go to the meetings to help educate you on foster care. And so it turned out to be a, you know, very valuable thing later when my teenage daughters, by that time in public school, you know, located their birth family way before the proper legal time, which is 18 years old. And so then some problems that resulted, we actually got investigated by an investigator from DCFS. And some of the, you know, all the things that happen in there can be very upsetting to an adoptive parent, of course. And that did happen, you know, for my wife and I. But I can tell you that the way that things were handled by the investigators was good, and that, you know, there are some tips could help them to avoid ever maybe being threatened by a parent or have a danger like
sure.
that.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a harrowing experience, but it sounds like you ultimately, I don't know, how was it I don't want to say it was a positive experience going through it, but your at least relations with the caseworkers you were working with was positive ultimately?
Yeah, it was only difficult because any parent, you know, going through things with a teenager can be, you know, difficult. But it can get complicated quick when they find their birth family and one of a half brother of theirs had already committed, you know, theft. And then, of course, through friends at school and through the internet, they were able to get in contact and be involved to some degree. And of course that caused problems for, you know, our family, but it's all things that are normal things that can happen. It wasn't anything, you know, real tragic or anything like that.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know, I mean, other than that, it was, you know, when the investigator came, I explained what happened, what, you know, had taken place in our home. But the thing that I thought might be a valuable tip for investigators is they did call me on the phone, request, you know, a time to come visit us and, you know, at our home and everything. And the feedback, you know, I'm sure gave them an idea that it would be a safe visit. you know.
I see. Yeah. Calling ahead and understanding, getting a feel for what the situation they were going into. All right. Thank you so much, Dave, for that call. We appreciate it. 800-222-9455 is the number. We're talking about the Department of Children and Family Services here in Illinois. There was a recent tragedy in which a caseworker was killed on the job about 20 miles outside of Springfield on investigating a case. We're talking about that with Arnold Black, who's a supervisor in the Champaign area for DCFS. Also, the public guardian of Cook County, Charles Goldberg. And we're talking about systemic issues in the agency as well. And Charles, can you talk a little bit about this recent case then with that we were just talking about? There have been a few in which the director has been held in contempt, but the one most recently, I think, was a 17-year-old boy who was in a psychiatric facility for months longer than was necessary.
That's right. He was in a psychiatric hospital for more than 4 months longer than was necessary for no reason other than that DCFS did not have a placement for him. And this was the third time that my office had filed a contempt of court motion against the DCFS director over a similar fact pattern. One involved a 13-year-old boy who was in a shelter 5 hours away for 5 months. And the other was on behalf of a 9-year-old girl who was in a locked psychiatric hospital for about 7 months for no reason other than there was no placement. These children celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's, and two of the children celebrated their birthdays in this shelter and in a locked psychiatric hospital. And my office filed multiple motions for DCFS to find an appropriate placement for these children and to move them. And in all three cases, the judge entered multiple court orders for them to be placed, and it did not happen. And finally, my office filed these three contempt of court motions, and the court agreed and held DCFS's director, Mark Smith, in contempt of court and fined $1,000 a day in each case until the children would be placed appropriately. And two of the children have since been placed. So that's good. That's great news for the children. That's why we did this in the first place. The 13-year-old, though, still remains at the psychiatric hospital, and his case will be in court again on Thursday. Hopefully he will be moved before then.
Where, in your view, is the breakdown? Is it a lack of foster families? Is it a lack of these contracted agencies to actually, you know, be the intermediaries finding placements? Where do you see the breakdown happening?
Yeah, it's a lack of placements of all types, foster homes, specialized foster homes, and group homes and residential placements. And it goes back about 7 years. DCFS made a decision to abolish 500 residential beds. And the theory was that DCFS was going to replace those beds with therapeutic foster home beds, which is a family-like setting, a foster home setting, where there are community-based services that you wrap around the child to meet all the child's needs. The problem is that DCFS abolished the 500 residential beds before it created any of the therapeutic foster home beds. And to this day, 7 years later, DCFS has only expanded therapeutic foster care by a few dozen beds. So it's had this deficit of more than 500 beds all of these years. And that is exactly when we started to see children sleeping on the floors of offices. That's exactly when we started to see children languishing for months on end in locked psychiatric hospitals. That's exactly when we started to see children languishing for months on end in what are supposed to be very short-term emergency shelters. And by the way, if I could go back, you had asked right before the break, and I think we got cut off by the break, does DCFS need more money, or is it how it's using
Sure.
the money it has right now? So the psychiatric hospitals and the shelters, monumental waste of money. And I say that because psychiatric hospitalization is far and away the most expensive placement type that where you could place a child. Children in locked psychiatric hospitals who should be in other types of placements wastes the Illinois taxpayers more than $6.2 million every day. And shelters also waste a lot of money. The shelter where the 13-year-old was for months and months costs the state taxpayers $9,700 a month. And what this child needed was specialized foster care, which costs approximately $1,500 a month. So I think DCFS needs more resources, absolutely. It also has to address this placement crisis that will save millions of dollars every year.
Arnold Black, I wonder if you have a perspective on this idea of Charles Goldberg just said, this idea of a placement crisis. Do you have do you see in your office a challenge placing children?
There is a challenge placing kids all over the state of Illinois. The lack of resources, foster homes, or even the foster homes that we do have, because although they're licensed, they may not be ready, or they may not want that child placed in their home for whatever particular reason. So that does lead a crisis when you have a child or multiple kids that needs to be placed. So it may be, if you're in the Urbana area, you may be placing a kid in the East St. Louis area or the Peoria area. And we know that return home is based upon where the child is living. The department pushes for having that child remain in the same school district. Well, that's difficult if you have such a limited number of foster homes that are able to take kids, and then you displace children, not only from their environment that they were in, but also from their parents as well, due to the lack of foster homes that are taking place. And then on a placement end, they have to coordinate those visits with their parents and the kids on a weekly basis to be able to continue to have that bond and work toward that return home. So we are in a crisis of foster homes and an appropriate placement for kids so they can do better, get better, and hopefully get back home if that's the appropriate goal for them.
And if I could pick up on what Mr. Black just said, so he's absolutely right. The farther the children are placed from their parents, the longer they're going to stay in care, the more difficult it is to reunify the family. But the longer the children stay in care, that exacerbates the placement crisis. So it's an unvirtuous circle until such time as DCFS gets the placements that it needs for these kids.
And Arnold Black, only about a minute left in our conversation. If you had, a magic wand, what would you change at the agency to try and, from your view, is it more money? Is it better allocation of money, as Mr. Goldberg said?
For the front line, I would want more training. Definitely with being able to talk your way out of a conversation, to identify those trouble areas, and to be able to equip yourself. Maybe the use of MACE for those who use MACE and get trained in it. Those body suits that you can wear that can stop the possibility of somebody trying to attack you. And then also physical training by the Illinois State Police or by the Department of Corrections to be able to defend yourself for those workers who wish to take that opportunity when they are in the field, that they know what the signs are and how to address that if someone wished to attack them.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. Arnold Black is a supervisor of investigators in Champaign with the Department of Children and Family Services, also president of the AFSCME local there. Charles Goldberg is public guardian for Cook County. Thank you both for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. Stay with us.